classy guy. I suspect that that's the only apology we're going to receive. But it was really an unfortunate affair.
Totally unnecessary.
I think it's certainly a nominee for the Mountain Out of the Molehill Award for 2013.
Well, it's early in the year.
Yeah. So, but I mean, this committee has oversight like you wouldn't believe. You know, we have a city managers here, a staff person, a council representative, so that we're not some renegade, you know, committee running amok. I mean, it's just weird. I think it could have been handled a lot better, a lot quieter, and there's no malfeasance, mm-hmm. impropriety of any sort, and just like, geez, you know?
Well, I'm going to work my part of it no, as best I can from here on forward.
Part of me had wished I was at that meeting to have taken on some of those questions. I don't know if anybody else heard the audio. It was pretty rough, and I'm kind of getting tired of being above the fold in the newspaper. Representing this committee as a volunteer.
Yeah, you know, front page, top of the fold story, which I don't think it had. For an item that was tabled, it sure had a lot of legs for a 15-minute soliloquy about the impropriety of all this stuff. It's just like...
Well, I didn't appreciate the adjectives that were thrown in there about sketchy and things like that. And I would suspect that if the News Times chose to call certain members of council sketchy in their publication, they'd probably be sued for slander. And you don't, you can't sit up there and get away with that crap.
It was interesting to be interviewed by my own editor and Larry.
I
saw the two coming, and of course Larry comes in and he goes, "We need to talk." And I was like, "Well, you had to bring Steve with you. You didn't want to do it by yourself."
Steve's but, taking notes.
I thought it was a learning experience.
It was really, really something. It's, you know, as a committee, as we proceed, sort of the second guessing of our choices, like a media and stuff, that's kind of a new phenomenon, I think. So I think we got a bullseye painted on us for some reason. So we're going to have to be real careful. I wish it was just like...
I don't think so. I want, if there's going to be a bullseye, I think it should be on my back. And, you know, I think you guys should, you know, I'm going to take your recommendations forward, and they're going to be my recommendations, so that if there's any future, arrows to be shot, they'll be at me. Because, you know, I'm a short-terming here anyway. You know, so I'm kind of, you know, you can kill me, but you can't eat me. So I really need to take those shots for you guys, and I apologize.
Well, I think the promptness of your response was to be commended, too. That was really, really classy on your part. So.
I just heard it today. Don't blame the arrow. Blame the Indian.
Okay.
All right. So,
thanks, Neil.
Shall we officially call this meeting to order?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to do that then. I think we probably should do some introductions around the room so everybody knows who everyone is. And we'll start with Rob.
Rob Splitter, Harvard Coast Magazine.
Okay. Mike Maloney, On Display.
Lee Diner, CBS Outdoor.
Rick Rayburn, Hallmark Resort.
John Clark, Whalen Motel.
Will Patrick, Dolphin of the State.
Jamie Rand, News Times.
Neil Henning, Whitebush Ripley's Odyssey Gardens.
Cindy Breeze, Executive Assistant.
Waiting for more from him?
Yeah. Sorry, I'm writing.
He said it so fast, you couldn't really get all three things in there.
Ted Smith, Interim City Manager, Library Director.
Lorna Davis, Newport Chamber. Okay. So our first order of business is our consent calendar. And we have the minutes of the June 18th meeting and the review of accounts.
I move for approval of the consent calendar.
Second.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. So the second order of business is going into a media consideration. Discover Newport, what is that one?
I think that was you.
If it says Discover Newport, it's probably us because she continually gets those things back confused.
I was ready for something from you, Laura.
It was the first.
The first thing in the packet.
Oh, the travel report?
Is it important?
No, it's the first thing that's in there, which is this one.
Oh, okay.
There's
a
email, and then,
Is this?
So it does say Oregon Coast Magazine down below. So.
Okay.
Oregon Coast Magazine.
Oh, there we go.
Oh.
Okay, well, I appreciate the opportunity to be here and speak. The decision to try to
get your proposals fairly late coming. We have a real estate issue coming up, and I have been working on a story that includes Wilder and its connection with community college. And as I was putting it together, I realized how much it had to do also with the trails and the parks and other things up there. It began to take on more of a tourist orientation, and I thought, you know, this might be a good opportunity for Destination Newport to put itself in alignment with some good editorial that supports Newport's tourism. So I brought a written out proposal to Margie, emailed it, but Ryder.
Hi, Rob. How are you?
So I wrote it out, and I've got some copies here. We have done the back cover for, not the back cover, we have done a half page in the middle of a mile for Newport in the past. We did one this spring, running it all year. I brought a price on that. I also would just like to suggest that if this is an opportunity that you'd like to take advantage of, we have the back cover. I have some full page ads, but they are related to real estate, and those people want to be close to our real estate story. So at this moment, I have not submitted the back cover. So I was going to say that if you folks wanted to do something with the back cover of this, with a full page at this time, we would put it on the back cover for you. Just a couple of other things. I think the last time I was here, I talked a bit about how we were generating clicks through to people through our various online things, particularly Twitter. But since that time, we just decided to simplify it greatly, and what we are now saying is we have four basic products that we use to push online internet to online visitors to the websites of our clients. And we're just going to say that for every dollar spent in the magazine, we'll get you at least one click through. So it's a buck a click. That is on top of the value of the advertising itself, which we happen to believe is a pretty solid value on itself. But on top of that, our continually increasing internet presence can generate one click for every dollar you put in. So if you took a full page, for instance, at around 2,300, then we get 2,300 people to various websites, maybe all just your main one, maybe websites for specific events that you want to send people to, or work whatever you want to do. You can just let us know. And that, I think, was the basic pitch. I think everyone here is familiar with Oregon Coast Magazine. I won't take up your time talking about what the magazine is. Unless you want to hear it.
How many times a year do you publish?
The magazine itself comes out six times, completely different issues. The Mile by Mile Guide is printed three times, but it is essentially one design, which we tinker with slightly two more times and then redo completely for the March-April issue. But the magazine itself, which is what we're talking about here, comes out six times. So we have a September-October issue, and it has a large real estate section. And for that purpose, I started putting together the Wilder story.
The large real estate section, he said.
35,000.
And how is it distributed?
Pay circulation. We mail out to people. We put them into with long newsstands. There are a number of people now put them into their rooms. The Adobe Fireside Overlake and so forth. Close by here. I'm not really sure who we do in Newport itself. I don't think we have any large ones, but right.
Okay, cool. How we're handling media, just to refresh everybody's memory, is that we listen to the proposal, mm-hmm. and then after we've listened to all of the proposals, the media leaves so we can discuss it. It is a public meeting, and you can stay, but
yes,
it's for committee purposes, it's easier.
We understand that, and I will not overstay my welcome. So I think I've made my pitch, and thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Rob.
Yeah.
Okay, so next up, Fox Oregon, KSLR-TV, LSR-TV. And there's a couple of proposals that Steve ordered the sales exec from that that's sent for, in the packet, it looks like.
Is that mostly a Fox affiliate in Coos Bay? Is that right?
The Fox affiliate?
Is that what it is in Coos Bay? The station? I'm not familiar with it.
Yeah, it is a Fox affiliate. It's not like Fox.
No, I understand that. But I mean, is it like, it must be a Coos Bay based station, right?
Oh, no, yeah, Coos Bay, Quebec.
Even on his business card, it doesn't say, but if you look at the geographic coverage thing, I don't know, maybe it's
he's from
South Lincoln County. Oh, he is?
Yeah, it's Eugene.
Do you think it's a Eugene station?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. It is. It's
that's just alphabetical on his business card.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it looks like they...
I mean, his business card doesn't even have Eugene
County,
as an address.
Douglas County, Lane County, Bentley County.
He said, where does this guy
go? Yeah, just out of all of it.
So, the Oregon Fox reaches four counties of Benton, Lane, Douglas, and Coos. And every Eugene station has the exact same coverage area.
So have we fulfilled our commitment to KEZI for the other Eugene?
Is yes, that, I think we have. I think that they're done. I mean, they
for this fiscal year, it's done?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we don't have anything hanging out for this coming fiscal year again. So do we want to move on in the agenda and follow through some of the other things and then touch back on that? And, okay, so K for radio, we were supposed to call Joe Van Ross.
Uh-huh.
And do you need this number, Cynthia?
Hi.
Which where is that?
Hang on.
That one was the one from...
it's Albany, the radio station?
Yeah, Albany.
It's in Albany, I think.
Yeah, like Albany, Sweet Home.
Yeah, we did a little buy with him, I think it was kind of
$600.
He kind of lowballed it. And I heard the video, I mean,
the call cannot be complete.
Sorry.
The audio, I thought the ads sounded okay, mm-hmm. The ones we heard.
A long distance company access code is required for the number you have dialed. Your call with the access code. Thank you. We're sorry, a long-distance company access code is...
I'm not supposed to be doing that.
Do you want me to call him from my cell and just put it on speakerphone?
We can, yeah. We could do that. It's not supposed to ask for the long-distance access. I know what it is. I just put it in, and it's still not registered.
What was,
so.
What was his number?
I have.
Oh, it's right here. The 541?
Yeah.
I mean, call me because I'm just...
They supposedly they took that off.
Yeah, unless this isn't hooked into that system yet.
No, I know. That's why they took it off. Oh, I know why. I need to dial one.
That's why it's in the back.
Good afternoon, KFIR.
Hi, is this Joe?
Yes, it is.
Joe, this is Lorna Davis with Destination Newport.
Hi, Lorna.
Hi there. You're on speakerphone, and we have... We have a number of people present in the room, so don't say anything off color. Just kidding. because you're also being recorded.
Yeah.
Okay, so we are at the point in the proposal where we come up to your proposal. Do you want to just briefly tell us the highlights of that?
Yeah, the phase two discovery basically was the initial offer that I put out in the marketplace, which you guys took advantage of, which was fantastic, and that was the frequency issue. And the initial part of that was to indoctrinate our listeners into the fact that Newport is a regular customer of the radio station. From that, we dropped into a phase two scenario, which is in front of you, which basically, I'm not sure if everybody's privy to the newest commercials that we had created, which was the listener interaction. But we also want to grow on that same type of program and get more interaction from our listenership, and an additional potential audience out there of what their feelings, beliefs, understandings, what they do, what they enjoy when they go to Newport. So that's what we want to continue to grow on.
definitely.
The longer term consistency. We built a high enough frequency out there by the end of the last program that now the consistency aspect that you're there and you're there all the time. Similar to your billboards that you put up around the state, they go up and they kind of stay there for a month, you know, lengthy period of time for a specific type campaign or thought pattern. So there's two offers at the bottom of that page. One is over the next 9 months that you get to either take advantage of two things. Two commercials every single day on the efforts round up to 60 per month for $250 a month. The other one, if we want to keep the frequency a little bit higher and take advantage again, these are extremely low rates, but they get us to a 1 year period of time where everybody feels good. Feel established, we've built a very nice high frequency. So the secondary part of it is if there is a 400 month bound budget available, you get four per day, 120 commercials per month for $400 investment. So those are the two areas that we have the availability now to go to over the next 9 month period of time before we get into, in essence, what is our regular advertising type program or rates.
Okay.
So that's what I wanted to offer. We were up as of the end of June, and this is where I wanted to, you know, let everybody there know if they were happy, enjoying what they have, what they got to hear from the commercials that were created, or any commercials to follow. If you'd like to continue, there's the programs available to you.
Okay. Is there any added value that that you have, like additional commercials?
Yeah, well, actually, on this, at the bottom of this, and I'm glad you stated that, there is banner placement that goes on our website during this entire time as well. If you will supply us with an appropriate banner size of 768 by 90, we'll place it on our website and it rotates through with some of our other sponsors there. Additionally, your commercials will wind up on... If people go to our website and listen, so you'll be streaming on KFIR, if people listen via streaming, and you'll be put on, one of your commercials is on our website and under our advertising page, Advertisers of Ours. It does need to be updated, it was one of the initial ads, it does need to be updated to the newer ones that we put together, which were the listener interaction. So that is the added value stuff that goes along with it.
And would the banner provide a hyperlink to our website?
Yes, it would.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions for Joe?
I do. Joe, can you review your coverage area again? I know you're in Sweet Home. Like, what are your little rating people say your reach is from? Give me the north, south, east, yeah. West again.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we go, we're licensed. I always love this question, and I'm glad you brought it up. We are licensed. Sweet Home, but we are the largest AM radio station in the entire Mid-Willamette Valley. So you either got to go to Eugene or Portland to find a station the size of us or larger than us.
Okay.
So our coverage area, I mean, we go up in the mountain. Well, you'll catch us all the way if you went east. You catch us up into Sisters is about where our signal dies off there.
Okay.
And if you go down south, of course, we'll get into Eugene Springfield. The problem there lies is if you get into the downtown areas of Eugene Springfield, you get into a lot of metal buildings and so forth, you'll get our signal in and out. So I don't really at this point say that I'm a Eugene Springfield radio station solidly, unless we're on the outskirts of those areas. I personally live in Jefferson City and I have the station clear as a bell all the way there in Battery. In regards to, we are Albany, Lebanon, Corvallis, Salem. One of our big sponsors is Mega Foods, which is a grocery store, and they're out of, Woodburn. And Woodburn is well all the way up north into Woodburn.
So is your signal...
We have a very broad signal.
Do you think your signal is pretty strong in Salem? Or do you have the same kind of issues as Eugene?
No, it would be stronger to Salem than... Okay. Yeah, it would be stronger going into Salem. You can still find the same issues in certain areas.
Right.
Is that if you got into a heavily populated area, that's like my signal when I go over the mountain, and not that Sisters is a huge town, but it's a populated area and there's a lot of the frequency things going on. We're beautiful right up to Sisters, and then you go into the city of Sisters and you lose the signal. You come out the other side and you get it a little bit. So,
okay. Okay. Thank
Joe,
you.
Joe, can you remind us what your programming is for the station?
Yeah, it's a news talk station. It's conservative news talk. In the mornings, we have Steve and Marty are live. That's our live morning show. They go 7 to 10. 9:05 to 10 is a program called The Country Store, which basically it's classified ads. People buy, sell, trade, rent, that kind of stuff. It's probably one of the longest running programs of any radio station in the state of Oregon. So it goes way back before me. Then from there, we go into Dennis Miller from 10 to 1. From 1 to 4, we have Glenn Beck. And then from 4 to 7, we go Lars Larson. And then we just picked up, I'm trying to think of her name, Laura Ingram from 7 to 10. And then after that, you get into weekend or nights at his secondary tech program in there.
Okay.
Yeah, so it is conservative news talk.
Does anyone else have any questions for Joe? All right, Joe. Well, we will mold this over today and get back to you, okay?
Excellent. I appreciate that. The one thing I would ask is everybody had an opportunity and do they have any feedback on the series of three commercials that were created about the interaction with listeners of what you like about Newport?
I thought they were good. I thought they were clever.
Yeah. Production did a very nice job with those, and that's what we're looking at. In fact, it's been interesting because I've got people who have won tickets or some from us, which is Oregon Coast Aquarium stuff that we have, and have been over there and then came back and then wanted to talk to me and tell me their story. And I said, well, save that for production. Maybe we'll put you on, and you'll be in a commercial at some point.
Awesome.
So, it's been some nice conversations to be had.
Well, thank you again, and we'll be talking to you soon here.
Excellent. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, Joe.
Bye-bye.
Here we go. Okay. So next on the agenda is the Travel Oregon e-newsletter. And that is here from Kara Mellon, and it looks like there's a few left this year that Media America sends out for Travel Oregon from they're on the Travel Oregon website, and then the subscribers of the e-newsletter get those. And the row of four photos just below the photo of the month is the position that they have available, and it goes. Ad usually goes for $200, while the text ad in our Niche Outdoor and Culinary e-newsletter currently go for $150. And so they, she's just asking if we would like to promote anything.
Do anything more about this thing?
No, I get the e-newsletter.
Yeah.
But it wasn't really clear as to what the exact offer is, as far as is this per month or is this.
That was my
how often it comes out, so we may have some more questions for her regarding that when we circle back on this. I would want to know how often it comes out, how many subscribers there are.
So Rick, do you know anything about this?
No, not frequency wise.
I don't either.
Yeah. So I can ask her some of those questions.
Just delete it when it comes.
You'll read it.
Okay. And then now on the agenda is On Display. Mike, it's good to have you here.
Thank you.
Did you want me to step out
for
this, just because we in the past, outdoor, we usually, I mean, we have left.
The Becky, yeah.
And I won't. No,
okay. Okay. Thank you. Thanks, Lee. Well, we get to see the man behind the
Oregon. I know, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I asked Lorna once, I said, there used to be a Mike Maloney, it was my ad rep for the Oregonian. I said, do you think it's the same guy? And Lorna said, I don't know, I'll have to ask him sometime.
And I
know you're not by seeing you, but I always often wonder what happened to him.
Well, here's the funny thing, too, is so we're the exact same age. We both graduated high school the same year. We both went to U of O, graduated the same year.
Exactly.
Both went into advertising. Never met each other until about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I've been confused for him a number of times. Yeah, yeah, so
that's interesting.
I'll meet some, they go, well, I love your dad, he's a great attorney. And I'm like, my dad will be surprised to hear that.
Yeah, I know his father's a lawyer or what.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'll try to go through this, you know, pretty quickly, and I appreciate the time. And first, thank you very much for the ongoing campaign and the skyscraper ad that we have in downtown Portland. I mean, we're really proud of that. It's on the cover page, and so we'd love to continue working with you. I want to just real quickly go through a couple things I think are relevant, just some research that I thought, it really is reinforcing what you're already doing. This page that says budgeting your brand, these couple of pages, there's a guy, I don't know if anyone's heard of Roy Williams before, not the basketball coach, but he's a guy who calls himself the Wizard of Ads. He's actually got a place in Austin, Texas, and he is the biggest advertising geek just about in the country, and that he goes deep into how the brain functions and how Broca is the part of the brain that anticipates what's coming next, that you can surprise Broca, it wakes up the brain to take in advertising, and he's really that deep into it. But one of the things he's really looked at is transactional versus relational customers. It really gets down to branding versus just doing price and item advertising. And where right now 90% of advertising is, come here now for this deal, because everybody's going, I've got to get this quick return. But they're missing the branding part, you know, on letting people know on an ongoing, consistent basis, here is why my is a business that you should consider. And I look at your business as a great example, or, you know, this organization is a great example. No matter what someone tried to do for me with a deal right now, I'm not going to go vacation anywhere this weekend because my son's got a lacrosse tournament and I'm going to go watch it. But I guarantee you in the next 3 months, I'm going somewhere. And so keeping that consistent branding is a huge part. You're already doing that very well. This is a quote from Roy Williams, and I won't read the whole thing, but the general emphasis is, never make the mistake of doing two things half-heartedly when you can do one thing wholeheartedly. Always dominate the medium. And I'll skip down to the bottom. Consequently, people don't stay reached any more than the lawn stays mowed. The key to medium dominance is relentless repetition. And as I look at why outdoor is such a great branding mechanism, where our strength is in this is, I was in radio for 18 years, and our company also owns a newspaper. And we're dealing with so much, not only fight and the fragmentation of other media coming after our audiences in those areas, but the other part is, you know, when you get a big radio campaign, a 60 ad campaign, and I heard that, you know, on the speaker, 120 ad campaign in a month, is a pretty high frequency campaign. You know, it's 40 spots a week, so let's say it's 60 spots a week, is a pretty high frequency campaign. But if you've got 60 spots a week, you own an hour of that radio station's time, which is 1/128th, or a little less than 1% of that radio station. When someone's listening, you own 1/128th, which is not, you know, throwing radio under the bus, because I'm a big believer in radio, but one of the reasons outdoor is so good is when you turn the corner on 4th and Oak, 100% of the time, people are seeing the lighthouse in your ad. And that share of voice is 100%, where in every other medium, it is so fractioned out. And in newspaper, it's, you know, a certain size ad within a certain number of pages, you dominate outdoor. And so the last little piece of research is this outdoor creates activations. This is a big study. I was down in Los Angeles in May for the Outdoor Advertising Convention, and they were talking about activations, basically getting people to take action online as a result of advertising they saw in a medium. And this is as geeky as I'll get today, but search engine, you know, take it just how you read this. According to this, 54% of people have seen an ad on TV and then gone and Googled it, you know, versus 39% for radio, 46% for print, and 28% for out-of-home or outdoor. And you follow that on Facebook, 20, 14, 17, 11%, post on Twitter, and you can see the numbers get quite a bit smaller. And now I'm at an outdoor convention, they showed us these numbers, so we're all getting pretty ready to jump out a window. Like, great, thank you for showing us how high TV is on that. But then you blend into it how much money gets spent on each of those mediums. $62 billion in TV, $15 billion in radio, $32 billion in, it's actually newspaper, and $6.7 billion in outdoor. And so a percentage of the ad share. And so you see, I mean, TV should outperform outdoor in a 9-to-1 ratio based on ad dollars. But what you get then is an index. And just the way an index reads, an index that is 100 is average. Anything below 100 is below average. Above 100 is above average in terms of how likely it is to create that activation. And what you'll see is that TV, for the dollars spent, really underperforms in getting people to go online and take the next step towards your business. Radio actually performs very well. 80% above, you know, 180 to 154 index. Print performs right about even keel. And outdoor performs almost three, sometimes close to a 400 or a 350 index in getting people to take that next step, go online and activate. And I think the big reason behind it is we are so inundated with advertising right now, but outdoor is the most simplistic form of advertising. Your message is very clean. It gives people a phone number or it's trying to drive them to a website and they can take that next step. And because it's a very clean message, it's easy to remember and it's easy to go take that next step and activate. So it's reinforcing what you're doing. And then I think same thing Lee from CBS would say, outdoor has really enjoyed a growth right now because the world is so ad cluttered and so fractioned and people are going so many places, but you own a place 24/7 in outdoor. So last thing I'll do is just put together the proposal. We did put together a proposal for renewing the what we call the skyscraper, the 90-footer on downtown. You can see the rates. This year, your rate came down on an average because we were able to take advantage of that summer discount that we put in. And we wanted to come in even below that based on if we were able to commit to it next year. One thing I just want to say, July of 2014 is not available. There's a national ad campaign that's this big secretive thing that they came in and bought a big chunk of Portland for that 1 month of July. So that 1 month has been booked, but the rest of the calendar year for next year is open. And we would bring down our overall rate if you renew this spot.
We're on there through October?
Yes, yeah. And then there's someone up just for the last couple months of the year, and then it's available again in the beginning of January. And then just I want to put together some other options for consideration, and I'll go through them very quickly. Triple Read is this PDX 101. This is on Southwest 14th and Washington. It's a few blocks from Jeldwin Field. We call it Triple Read because you read it from West Burnside, which divides North and South Portland. You can read it above the I-405 freeway and also down Southwest 14th Avenue. It's a massive wallscape. It's about 3,000 square feet. So besides our big blazer wall that we have at the Rose Garden Arena, it's about the next biggest thing that we have. It's a great spot. It's, again, it's three different reads. What we put together is, look at the proposal. P&I is the cost for the production and installation. Installation in general, as you know, is right around $1,000, $1,200. So the difference between that number and $1,200 is what it costs to produce the vinyl. As your group has found, you can reuse that vinyl multiple times without having to incur that new production cost again once you produce something for those specifications. Second one, PDX 113 Vertical East. This over the east side is a great PM commute location as you're leaving downtown across the Burnside Bridge. I also included it just because with the light tower artwork, you're able to do kind of a vertical ad, which is kind of more rare in outdoor. Most of the stuff is more horizontal. So I thought this was a neat location. You can see KPTV, Fox 12 is up there. And again, all the rates, production installation, and then I should have explained in the last one, net rate per four-week period based on the number of periods you do, 1 to 3 periods, or if you do 4 to 6 or 7+, and the rate comes down with a higher frequency across the board. And
is this traffic going east or west? Or
this traffic is going east. It's east, leaving downtown. It's left across the Burnside Bridge and leaving outside of downtown. PDX 123 Morrison Monster. This is another big one. It's about 2,500 square feet. It's right next to the Morrison Bridge. This is one of those that we had that they just did the $137 million East Side Portland Streetcar expansion for the train. And this is right on the train tracks. Actually, the stop is just past, as it just goes past the bridge, is where the stop is. When they put this train together, they actually put bigger windows than they have in other trains around the country with the express desire for people to look out and enjoy their city as they're on the train commuting around. So it's nice because it gets a nice long look at this. And then you also have a read of this, kind of a secondary read as you cross the Morrison Bridge into downtown Portland. So again, this is on the east side. 136, this is about a block from that one. This is on, or about three blocks from that one. This is as you're headed north on Grand Avenue, so Highway 99, heading towards Burnside. It's a parallel read. You can see it's up high on the Chevy Town, kind of behind Chevy Town, that big white building. It is also on the Portland Streetcar, so that drives right by it. This is one of a few I want to put in, kind of some lower price locations as well, if you want to increase the frequency a little bit, but maybe not necessarily do something as big as the skyscraper. I want to include some options in there. Next one, PDX 145. We call this one Morning Commute. It's in downtown, Southwest 2nd and Salmon. It's right on the back of the Hotel Lotus, which is a very kind of well-known historical location in downtown. It's a great morning commute spot as you're, because right as you're just coming into downtown and hitting into the heart of the city, there's a lot of pedestrian traffic there, a lot of bike traffic that goes by. And so it's just in a very good, you know, morning drive spot. It's a good size, you know, about 31 by 49 feet. Not quite the size of the skyscraper, but still a good downtown location. And then again, this is one of those kind of more lower priced options, but then to get you into downtown, this is Southwest 2nd and Oak, downtown entrance, we call it. It's a long, skinny one, so this would be more of a web driver. So utilizing the fact that Outdoor is good at getting people to take those online activations, you wouldn't be able to do the big vertical artwork in this. You'd be doing something more like a shoreline or something, and then do the web address there to drive people to it. And then last couple over here, I think just one more on this. Old Town, this is another vertical one we have. This is on Northwest 3rd and Cooch, so just about a block from Burnside as you're leaving Old Town. It is on the route if you leave the Rose Garden Arena and you go over the bridge there and you follow the signs that lead you to I-5. It does lead you past this sign. It's the way when I go back home, I live in West Lynn, and if I leave a Blazer game, you know, it does take me past this sign. It's, you know, it's a smaller one. It's a lower priced one, you can see, but again, allows for some frequency. And the last thing we include is, as you know, we are the ad company for the Lloyd Center Mall. Lloyd Center is the largest mall in Oregon. They get about 10 million visitors a year. It's a great family mall. It's a very ethnically diverse mall, whereas the city of Portland as a whole is not. And so in terms of tapping into families and tapping into that that diverse audience, it's one of the best options there's available. And I know we looked at the ice rink previously, and so what I did just included two pages of some of the different ways you can advertise within the mall. Honestly, there's about a million different ways that you can. I mean, it's more of the Lloyd Center Mall, this is the first time they've had an outdoor advertising company do this. They actually were just acquired by a new parent company, which if you follow the money all the way up, it's Roger Staubach now, kind of owns the mall, which as an old Dallas Cowboy fan as a kid, I like that. But one of the things the mall is really, really open to is promotional tie-ins. If somebody commits to being a long-term advertiser in the mall, they say, hey, let's find some ways to extend that. I know we talked about with the ice rink doing something with, you know, having a character come skate with the kids, do some kind of giveaways, have some kind of presence that you can actually kind of, you know, be hands-on with the consumer base. So with the Lloyd Center, it's a little bit of a blank slate. We did put some specific recommendations on at kind of an A, B, and C package level. We're doing some Skyway banners, which are these big banners that hang down the two main arms of the mall. As you, you see them on all three levels as you're going shopping. Doing some dasher boards, which is the boards around the ice rink. We looked at that before with the center logo. Doing the bridge that goes over atop the ice rink and doing the side of that. And then the center court marquee is this kind of massive banner that hangs right in the middle. If you've been to the Lloyd Center, it's kind of got a very centralized area with the food court and all stuff is a bit of a satellite around it. And then PAX level B, you know, kind of extending instead of doing maybe stuff on, you know, on the banners, a little more of kind of floor graphics. And again, keeping in the dasher boards. PAX level C, keeping in the sky banners and the dasher boards. We've got a million different ways we can kind of cut things up. I think that, you know, as you say, hey, we'd like to utilize the Lloyd Center in that audience. We want to tap into those families. We want to allocate this kind of budget. And let me know, you know, what's your wish list on how you want to do that, because we really do have a lot of flexibility in working with the Lloyd Center. And the last page, I really just recreated that ice rink proposal. And we've done the mock-up, but I know one of the big things is, hey, how's that really going to look? So I also did include what the AT&T logo looked like once they actually did it at the Lloyd Center. That's a photo, where ours is obviously an artist rendition, so we're a Photoshop. So I know I kind of jerked out of the fire hose and thrown out a bunch right there, but any questions or
I can answer? I just have just a theoretical one or something.
Yeah.
How do you get by the city of Portland's like sign ordinance and stuff? Are wall skates exempt or something? It seems like they say, oh, it's excessive, it's distracting, it's this, it's that. It's, if they got involved there, but how do you do it?
Well, what all of our locations are is what they call legal non-conforming, which means if you tried to start it today, you couldn't because the sign codes don't allow it. But all of ours have artwork that predates November of 1998, which is their line in the sand. So
there's no new wallscapes that you can go and acquire a side of a building somewhere and do it?
No, I mean, unless there was some prior artwork that already existed there, because to the city of Portland, a sign is a sign.
Yeah.
And what was kind of a big thing that we had one of our clients that we were defending through a process that the city made, you know, they kind of were holding out making this determination, but they finally had to go on the record to say that the change from paint to vinyl is maintenance and not a reconstruction. And so, which the whole industry had gone from paint to vinyl, and it's much more green than going and repainting a wall.
Yeah.
There's a million different reasons, and they were almost kind of holding out like, well, no, we're gonna say it's reconstruction. So the good thing is they finally went on record and said, okay, that's just maintenance. So you'll notice, because of almost all of ours, when they started back in 98, the vinyl cable system was hardly around.
Right.
Now it's 99.9% of everything that's out there. Either a cable system on a vinyl or a PSV, pressure sensitive vinyl, which is just a sticker, essentially. So anyway, longer answer than you probably wanted, but yeah, it just they all predate the day, and that code was set. That date of November 1998 is when the city of Portland lost a lawsuit to Clear Channel based on unconstitutional sign codes.
Yeah.
So it kind of started, created a restart button.
Interesting.
Any other questions?
I just would want to state for the record that when we go before council with these proposals, oftentimes they will ask, well, not oftentimes, but nearly every time they will ask, what's the return on the investment? And I have to explain to them that it's not an immediate return because it's not a call to action, more of a branding presence. So the material that you provided today really emphasizes that message that as we try to pass that along to council, that it's part of our branding and it's part of our impact advertising.
Well, yeah, the interesting thing is, in radio we studied the same thing, is so much of a campaign's impact is because it's, it is grassroots, it is the start of word of mouth, it is, getting the word out there, and that's so much easier through social media now. Direct mail is great for getting a really tangible response, but it's like, would you rather have two tangible responses or 10 that you can't necessarily track back, because you're trying to drive the overall business. So one of the really interesting things they did to try to quantify it more, though, is the same convention in Los Angeles, they announced the results to this thing called the Rushmore Project. I don't know if anybody heard about this. They took five cities in the country, it was like Cincinnati, Tampa, whatever, and they created a fake outdoor advertising campaign. And the campaign said, okay, they're gonna add a fifth head to Mount Rushmore. Do you want it to be Bush or Obama? So they wanted to try to get something provocative, and it got massive response. But the most interesting thing was 65% of the people who voted in this campaign did not live in one of the states that had the outdoor advertising campaign.
Wow.
But they went to Facebook and they told their friends and they created this buzz and the groundswell happened, and all of a sudden all these votes are coming in from California and New York and Delaware who weren't part of the campaign. So, trying to make everything tangible, that's been, in my, now I'm, 19 years in total advertising, and that's always the toughest thing, because when you are branding, which is what you've got to do to move the meter, it is harder to measure, mm-hmm. but you at least now can quantify statistically that, they do find that it is impactful. It is getting people to take action.
Very good. Does anyone have any other questions for Mike?
Okay. Obviously, we very much want to keep working with you, but no matter what, thank you so much for the campaign. I think that the wallscape was fantastic. We've been very proud to be part of it. I actually had a meeting in the office building next to it, and then the guy looked at me and goes, hey, have you seen the thing? And I'm like, yeah, I have. Thank you. And hey, would you like something cool? Because we do these kind of things. Well, I'll leave one more copy here since I don't know if everybody got one, but I know some was missing today.
Lord, I can
use it,
I'm sure.
All right.
Thank you.
So much.
All right. Thank you very much. Here's a copy of the.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Well, we'll move on in the agenda to get through this. And so next would be Lee with CBS. I'll go call right her.
I like his presentation.
Yeah, he's quick. He's good. He's good at his job, I think.
One. Faster.
Easy for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I can go back in and type in details. It's much easier than I can with other
stuff. Yeah, it's hard. Her stuff's hard to read. right here.
Fine. You are on. All righty. I did, when I opened up the email of the, the agenda, not all of the photo information sheets were attached, so I printed them out. I printed them out for everyone.
Maybe that one has a photo of the look you printed.
I don't know what it was, but it just...
Double of the copies, they kind of went...
I did it twice, and I got them. I've never had that happen before.
No, it's good. No,
The first two, and because I realized that you guys had set a budget, the first two are the renewals, the one in Grand Ronde, and then the Newburgh Board are renewals, and that is the annual cost at the end. And then, and I still think the Highway 18 in Grand Ronde and the Highway 99 in Newburgh are really great boards for you guys. And then I had picked, and I went through all of our inventory and pulled all the boards that are open throughout the fiscal year, because I know that you probably only want one presentation, you get to see my lovely face all the time. So the next one is actually a great board. It's on Highway 26, catching westbound traffic, as well as you catch the Reed. It would be the third one. You also catch the Reed from Highway 217. Highway 217 is... That's right when the on-ramp comes on.
Right.
So you can still, you can read that board from 217 as well as Highway 26. So I thought it might be a good opportunity for you guys to be reaching that traffic that is headed to the coast or north of here. Of course, everyone headed to Seaside and Astoria. So it might be a good opportunity for you guys to reach out as well as have coverage in Portland.
But I mean, still there's daily traffic of commuters that aren't even going to Seaside. They're just going by there in huge numbers every day.
Exactly. And you can see the daily, if you look at the photo sheets, there is the weekly eyes on impression of just under 240,000 per week and a daily effective traffic count of 62,000. So all of that information is on the photo information sheets, but I do think that that is a great location. The next location is Woodburn, catching southbound traffic. We did review this location in the past. It is a great read because you're catching all that traffic that's coming from Portland south on I-5, as well as those people who would be traveling to the outlet mall that's south of Woodburn. So, and then I actually took out the Albany board. I didn't include the photo information sheet. I think if you're going to be picking an I-5 or catching southbound traffic, the Woodburn location would be a much better impression, because that's the only billboard in that whole stretch, whereas in Albany there are about 15 other billboards, not just our inventory, but all over. So that would be that one. And then I included a Beltline location that we have. It is a 12x48. It catches westbound traffic, so anyone coming off of I-5 to go to the coast would be driving by that billboard, as well as you guys would be capturing Big Eugene Springfield Market with the I-5, the Beltline location. This used to be one of our, actually two of our poster locations, so you were on this, but it was on the poster program. And then the next location is going to be I-105, and it catches westbound traffic as well, to just keep your presence in Eugene Springfield active. And then I included a Roseburg location. It is a great location catching northbound traffic just right there at Garden Valley. All of the other boards pretty much are outside and north of Roseburg, so you're catching the traffic that's in Roseburg as well, so you're catching the local people as they're driving, because you can also read that from the airport roadway. And then I also did include a Bandon location. I figured that that would be far enough away to capture that traffic, as well as it is south of Bandon Dunes Golf Course, so any traffic going to visit the golf course would be passing that board. And it being about 2.5 hours away, I do think that it would encourage overnight stays, just not day trips, because that's quite a journey to just drive and come visit. So I included that one. I also included a board in Wairika, catching northbound traffic on I-5.
The boards, you know, boards on I-5 in California are kind of rare, so I did include that one as well to see if that might be something that you want to reach. And then the last location I included would be Wood Village. That's on I-84. Given that your budget requirements are where you're at, this one I would kind of put it at the end of the list, which is why it's at the end of the list. So the only thing that's not included on that sheet with the prices on it is production, and production would depend on, is negotiable depending on how many boards and locations that you take with us. So, and as you can see, all the start dates are different, but I did end them all as close to your fiscal year as possible, so you can maximize your $150,000 budget for 2013 and 14. Does anyone have any questions? Oh, and the other thing as well, if the start date is 7/29, you can definitely bump that until you have time to get approval from City Council and get artwork in. That was when I put this together, that was the start date. So the Beltline board is one that you can start right now. There's a few boards that you can start right now, as well as the band in Wairika and the Beltline board.
So does anyone have any other questions of Lee? Is this one that you want? Is that another?
Oh, these are all the photo information sheets that weren't on, and they were attached down at the bottom of the Excel spreadsheet, so they didn't get printed out. Right. Sorry, I didn't bring that for everyone. I thought
Here's an extra copy here.
I just like to see because people don't know what the specs are.
When you're creating.
They do vary in size, 12 by 48, 14 by 48, down to a 10 by 24. So it's depending on the location. Yeah. But.
And this is the yearly. Okay.
Yes. Perfect. Of course, the production, as I mentioned, isn't included.
And we have the one at Grand Ronde currently.
The Grand Ronde and the Newburgh board are the first two on there. I couldn't really cut either one of those short because it was an annual renewal, so I couldn't shorten them like I did.
And this isn't including production if you were to do new boards.
Exactly. I would give you the best rate I could. I just don't know, depending on how many boards that you would be taking, what I could do with production.
Perfect.
Okay.
Thank you, Lee.
You're quite welcome.
So, Lee, do you think that one on 217 and Highway 26, do you think that's big enough being on the other side of traffic? You know, people are turning here. My daughter lives just right over the hill right here.
Yeah. I do think it is a good board. You can read it from far away. There is a little bit of a tree obstruction, and then you can read it again. So you do have a distant read, and then you have a close-up read.
Yeah. Do you know, is this the 217 turnoff, or is that Cedar Hills Boulevard?
I think that's Cedar Hills, because this is
it's
just
four,
west
four miles
of...
Yeah. I know where it is. Okay.
Yeah, so you're already... It's west of where the 217 junction.
Right, so all the main... There's more people turning... before they get here, but there's plenty of people turning there too. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, you're coming, 217 is joining 26 right there, so you do get five lanes of traffic right on that board.
I agree. Okay, thanks.
And so I just thought it would be a great Portland presence. So, and any other questions?
No.
Okay, let me know.
Thank you.
Thanks very much for the opportunity to run your business.
Thank you. We'll go under other, and Cindy Hansen is here from Comcast. Hi there.
Hi. And I apologize for my being late, but my printer was giving me problems, and because I work from my home office, I'm the IT guy, and that's really scary. So I was able to get one printed. But I sent Lorna the bottom line, and I promised her a one-page, five-minute proposal, so I'm going to stick with that. So this is the bottom line that I'm recommending. And I did attach all the reasonings for the recommendations with this. So this is a supplemental thing.
Do you want me to take that out and make copies real quick?
Would that be possible?
Why not?
Oh, yeah, that would be awesome.
Okay. I know you sent me that this morning, Cindy, but I was on the car.
Give me half a minute and I'll go.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, it's only $20.
So basically,
not on the agenda.
For doing it's under other. I'd like to go on the record now as stating that we came under some questioning or criticism at council, at the council audio that we heard, we all heard the other night, that we take last minute items on our agenda often, and which changes the course of the agenda. But as a committee, because we are buying and making advertising decisions, oftentimes these advertising opportunities come up either at the last minute, and so we leave room under other purposely to entertain opportunities so that we're getting the best deals for the city and saving taxpayer dollars wherever we can when good media buys come up. And sometimes that's the case if they're not on the agenda the 7 to 10 days prior to get on there officially, then they come in between that time and the meeting, and we allow them to speak under other, though we don't always necessarily make a decision about it that day.
Right. I think the safest thing, given the criticism we received, is probably to allow Cindy to make a presentation, but not make, we can make decisions on these other items mm-hmm. today since it's on the agenda, but since mm-hmm. this is not listed, I think she should make a presentation and we shouldn't make a decision on hers today.
Perfect.
Even though it's maybe time sensitive or whatever, but I think that would eliminate any criticism we would have.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. So Ted is making copies and gonna bring that back. And
I can talk about it. Meantime, I wanted to make it very quick because I know that just a whole bunch of them, but I basically took what you told me. I asked you questions about what your demographic is, who you'd like to target, and I thought about that and I plugged it in and came up with the top networks for those demographics. And the nice thing about cable is that you can advertise without waste. You can hone in on who your demographic is, who it is that you want to bring in, and plug them into those programs, and so you're not just scattering it to the wind. You're really focusing on the people that you're trying to bring in. So that's what I did with this proposal. I know that you've in the past seen Portland as kind of untouchable in a sense because it's so expensive there to get TV.
That's worth coming. I'm only making $5.
So what I recommended here was Xfinity, which is our online component. And I recommended Xfinity as like a network. So you can be online, there will be an interactive link to your website on that. And that would cover the entire Portland demographic. That is the go-to site for people who are looking for programs to watch, their program guides. It's many people's home page that have Comcast in Portland. So that is what Xfinity is, and it's there, and the spot would be, you can have it as a spot, as your 30-second TV spot running on that site, or you can have a banner ad with a link if you want. You can do any number of things there. The last page, the very last page, is the recommendation.
Yes.
The person helping me put this together said per month, but that's actually per campaign. So you could split this up. It wouldn't have to be, you wouldn't have to use that all in 1 month or even 2 months. You could split that up in the shoulder seasons if you wanted and put them in certain months. Because I heard, one of the things I heard you say, Lorna, was that the shoulder seasons are really important. So, so there's my recommendations, and there are the reasons for them. And does anyone have any questions?
So it's 600 spots, could see television commercials?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And they're, how many seconds are they?
30 seconds.
30 seconds? Mm-hmm. Okay. And the production of them, who produces?
We have a number of producers that we can recommend. Mm-hmm. Do you have an agency produced spot, or did you plan to have one?
We have some agency produced spots that we can't use because the agency used some of their children in the spots. And some people who didn't give model consent.
Oh dear.
And so.
Well, we can always reproduce one, and I have a roster of very talented producers. So.
And I should probably roll that back because I don't know if it was the children that were in the video or the commercial spots. Mm-hmm. They were a lot more photographs, but there were some problems with copyright on some of the production that we had done. Okay.
Well, so, Cindy, what is Xfinity as far as, like, what is it? Is that their brand name for Comcast, or is that just their online thing, or what is it?
That is the brand name for the advertising, the online advertising portion.
Okay. So the brand name for the online advertising for Comcast is Xfinity. Is that right?
That's correct,
okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And what we're finding out is that most households actually are online and watching TV at the same time. So there's you know, I don't know if you do it, if you're sitting at your computer and the TV's going, well, everyone else does that too. And so it made sense to us to offer that as a network, because that's where people are going to see what's on TV.
Okay, so if I'm a Comcast person in Portland, mm-hmm. and my laptop's open, I'm watching it, and I'm using my wireless thing for, that's my pipe, that's my connection to the internet. Is that what pops up on the start screen for people, or do they actually see something on TV and they actually go to the Xfinity site? How does that work?
Well, both. Actually, it's online, it's on television, and people maybe who aren't online, obviously they aren't going to see it, but they'll see it on TV. But, you know, people who use Comcast in the Portland DMA, which in designated market area, that means the entire Willamette Valley and all of Portland.
Okay.
So there's a lot, lots of households there.
And so you could take a Comcast area and just say, we just want the Corvallis zone, and you can do that, right?
Yes.
Or just say, I just want the Eugene zone, I can do that.
Yes.
Okay.
And you mentioned that you were having success with KEZI broadcast in Eugene Springfield. So I added that, the Eugene Metro and the Cottage Grove area, as a way to enhance that and reach way more people in that area. Since you saw that you got results from that area, you can reach a much, much broader area with cable in the same area, since you're pulling from there already.
We own those spots too on KEZI, so that can certainly be utilized. Okay, does anyone else have any questions for Cindy? Well, we will probably make some considerations at our next meeting.
Okay, great.
Regarding that. So
great. All right. And thanks for
put
making
that on
time
the agenda
for
the next meeting for sure.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
To me, this is interesting. Just this one about Newport, people, domestic places they visited from Portland. Mm-hmm. We're 18.9, and Central Oregon Sisters is 19.8, so that's pretty close.
30.
I know, look at this.
They're double.
That's because they come off 18 and stop right there.
I'm in Portland, Central Oregon. Oh, that's where we have to go, but you know, we're pretty competitive.
Closer,
too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They get a lot of Portland traffic. Okay. Before we circle back to the media considerations, does anyone else have anything under other? Jamie, did you have anything?
The only thing I was coming, because we've been going back and forth. The answer is yes. We've been going back and forth with the brochure, and I just wanted to clarify so we're all on the same page. I actually was hoping that everyone would be here, and then I could kind of get everyone in a room to see it, because when we go back and forth in the emails, a lot of times there's contradictory views about what should be changed.
Yeah.
And that's not a bad thing. It's just
designed by a committee.
And I get stopped, and I'm like, okay. So I just thought if I brought it in physically and we could look at it and make any changes, or you know, if I leave it here or something, where we could kind of get everybody to decide what changes they actually want, because otherwise I kind of get stopped. And the other thing I wanted to mention is I did look up the brand guidelines. There is a palette, a color palette that goes with the brand guidelines. And it's basically specific to the colors that are in the logo. The logo cannot be changed. in any shape or form. It needs to stay how it is. But the color scheme, obviously, from the logo is what was used throughout the entire brochure to maintain the brand. And it's actually, in Adobe software, extremely easy to do to make sure the colors match up, either CMYK or RGB, identically. So I changed the front photo as requested. I made the changes that Lorna initially requested, and I've made two revisions to it thus far. I just kind of wanted to know what the committee's, what you guys wanted me to do in terms of trying to get it all, a list of all the committee's changes and one.
Right, after those, I mean, because they went to all the replies for John's and Carrie's, and then Jamie made those changes to it, and it looked...
Yeah, I think I just made one other change. I think I dropped a word or something on it. I guess it got improved.
Yeah. Hi, Mark.
Hey, since there's mostly Rotarians in my room, ask where the living passed away.
Oh, no. I just sat with him at lunch. He was just at lunch at 10, I sat at his table.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
That's horrible.
He fell at lunch.
Did he make it to the lunch? He finished the lunch meeting.
Yeah, he finished lunch and either went out and was coming back in. And
I saw him sitting on the steps. He was sitting on the steps when I left, but he was looking out at everybody.
Huh. He had fallen and hit his head.
Yeah, he hit his head on the banister.
Oh.
So, sorry to interrupt. He had great news.
The phone call.
The brochure seems a lot less important.
we can look at it. Do you hand it down? Can we whiz it and tell you yes?
Sure. I mean, I don't know if some photos want to change.
My comment was, we have had these crab pots. I don't object to one of them, but twice on the same.
It's like one big picture
come together like Mad Magazine.
So it's no, that's one
but
large
I would picture. Like in the future to work on something else. We've had those for how many years now?
A long time.
Yes.
We had typos in there for all those years. Just caught on this round however many times we've redone this brochure, but I think Jamie
she's
after.
Not bringing that up. It's just,
And I tried it like the front picture with the kids surfing. I tried to get the photo to match the brand as well.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
I got that the same color.
Like you do.
And in the brochure,
under hungry, I don't think it needs a dash there. It wasn't the original because it had freshness on it. I think when I sent the change in, I didn't have a dash on it.
Okay.
So it's real easy. So I don't think it doesn't really need a pause. It just reads like a sentence. Other than that, I think it's fine.
Okay to move forward with them doing it?
Yeah. I think so. We're okay because we already paid.
We already paid for it.
This is for the 2012 fiscal year.
I'm just trying to.
I just want to make sure.
Plus, I didn't see from anybody else any other changes after I sent mine in, so I think you're...
I just kept watching yours and Carrie's just to wait and see if there was anything else. Yeah. So. Okay.
Dan, I know John sent back an email to kind of recant his original one. So I haven't made those changes yet, so do we want...
They did make the change I sent.
You did?
Yeah, that's been changed except for the dash.
Oh, that was the only other thing.
Yeah, that's the only one.
I thought there was...
There's not none.
Okay, good enough.
Yeah, it's just that one.
Okay, so then we're good.
Yeah, so that it just says hours ago that inspires local shifts. Yeah, that's good.
Okay.
No, they didn't change it.
No, that's what I was...
Okay, that should say Newport instead of... I should have that thing with me.
Yeah. Well, I can go get that email and make the final ones and just send it
right, it's only in that line there. That's
okay.
The only one.
Yeah, I can go look at that email. That's why I was kind of coming in just to say if everybody's agreeing with those changes.
But anyway, my thought was, since it's a Newport brochure and it sounded like Oregon something, how about Newport's delectables?
Yeah. I think with those revisions that
makes a lot of sense. And we've gotten rid of all the dashes.
Yeah, and so anyway, go look at my last one, and I think it's pretty close. I don't have it with me. But.
Okay. That's really all I had.
All right.
Here we go. Do you mind if I take this just so I have the specs for everything?
No, that's fine.
Is that okay?
I don't have a problem. Does anybody else have a problem? Okay. All right, so circling back on the media consideration, we have Rob Spooner's proposal.
So we've had ads in just the magazine before, right?
Yeah, we've had them in the Mile by Mile Guide, I think.
Yeah, we bought an ad this year.
Yeah, this one right here.
Yeah. So do we want another ad or do we, in a and a fall publication, since the timing's kind of good for slow season, but I don't know how our budget's going for
they print 35,000 of them. That's not a large.
I would lean towards no on that one, personally.
I don't have any strong feelings, so that's okay with me.
Okay. And then the
Fox. Amy, see you later. Case.
Yeah.
Okay. The Fox offer, Fox Oregon, for the KSR-TV.
So we think it's a Eugene station,
right? It is. I think maybe it would be good to have him come and do a presentation.
I think so, too.
Okay. All right. Does anybody?
Table.
Okay. So,
table. Future presentation.
I'll just send him an email and say, make yourself available at a future meeting. K for radio, the conservative.
Huh? to say no.
I thought the ad was kind of clever. What were the audio?
Yeah,
you worried about coverage?
I didn't hear the ad, but I'm just thinking the coverage and yeah.
It's innovative advertising. I'm just a little bit worried about aligning ourselves with any type of political.
I don't think that will political too much difference, really, because
conservatives and liberals, they both travel.
That's true.
I don't care who comes.
Okay, so you're not leaning towards that one.
I think I always thought it was kind of, we had some radio presence in a central location. It was fairly inexpensive last time we said yes, which is pretty
true.
I think he lowballed it to get us a mm-hmm. hook in us.
And it sounds like it's not too much more expensive now.
But I mean, I'm open to it.
Okay.
Which is just, if it was an FM signal, many people would listen to AM anymore.
Just for talk.
Just
radio,
for talk.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a pretty big segment.
There is. Otherwise, there wouldn't be. But you know, those guys wouldn't be making billions. Those talk radio guys.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's 430 seconds per commercials per day, every day of the month, over the next 9 months.
So did you understand the thing that people say they become the part of the ad because they talk about their trip to Newport?
Mm-hmm.
That's different. No one's ever tried that before with us.
And it's not. It's
a lot better than those radio ads we had from the agency.
He has
those are bad.
And as we were driving through that area today, Sirius goes in and out, so AM or FM are a better choice.
Do you have any feelings about it, Laura, one way or the other? You're an expert.
I think it's... it's not very expensive. It's a good, if they're willing to do some added value on it with the link to the website. And if we can maybe emphasize to have them place those ads around some of the more listened to programming, then it's not just middle of the night stuff or when, you know, in the evening stuff when there's not really anyone listening. I would be amicable to that.
So we're kind of a low maybe.
Yeah. What do you guys think?
Rick, come on, help us out.
I'm fine with that. I just don't know where we are budget-wise with everything else.
It's $400 a month.
We should do our final budget thing, especially if we're going to pick off some of the Lee's billboards. So I'd say...
Let's jump down to...
Let's see how our... Let's say it's budget-dependent.
Budget-dependent. It's on here.
So we do it through...
Okay, got it.
So we'll say it's budget-dependent.
And we're in the new year anyway.
That's true.
We've already
right.
The anticipated expenses for the new fiscal are here too. So on the second page of the budget, the third page of the budget document. So where are we at? Where are we?
Travel Oregon e-newsletter.
Yeah, I think we need more information.
So we're confused. Like, what is? We don't know how. We don't know the time. Is it a month? Is it a one-time fee for a year? What is that thing?
Okay, so more info, and then Fox on the agenda. Consider Cindy's. Okay. So next, after that, would be the on display, Mike Mahoney.
I think it's a fun form of advertising.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I kind of fell in love with
this is the best place in Portland.
Yeah, I was going to say, of his other locations, I love ours. I like it.
I do too. I like the traffic there. I love going around that corner and seeing Matt just right in his face. It's so good. And we do get a lot of people that somebody sent us a picture and we ended up posting it on Facebook too.
So we're through October, you said, or September?
Yeah, we're through October. He gave us a pretty burning deal for the month of June and July, and actually kept us up until council made the decision late in June. So we had some.
So for even in the future, is there any others you kind of like? That PDX 101 is a kind of a cool location, I think. Mm-hmm. But I'm not saying I'd pick it over something else.
My other favorite in here is the PDX 145, the morning commute.
Let's see what's up.
Which one
was
that one?
That
one's
on the
Yeah,
second,
I like that one too.
Second
is that
salmon.
By Voodoo? Not far from Voodoo?
It's not very far from Voodoo.
A whole lot of people go there.
Mm-hmm. I like that one, Laura.
Yeah, I do too. I just, that's a really good location.
I think that's Second and Oak. I don't know about that.
Yeah,
I
Second and Salmon.
Second and Oak, I didn't like that one as well.
Oh, that, yeah.
Yes. Which one did you get? I'm sorry, the 140?
145.
Yeah, yes, I agree. I probably see that more than
else. Isn't Salmon at the opposite end of downtown?
It actually, if you're going down Second, Salmon is, because Second runs this way, Third runs this way. Voodoo's close to Burnside, but it's on Second. It's like Second and Burnside.
Yeah, here's a little. Mm-hmm. There's a little map down there.
Yeah, so
yes. But not too far, because it's.
Well, somebody going to Voodoo isn't probably going to see this though, specifically. I mean, not that it's a bad location otherwise, but.
No, I think it's a pretty good.
I don't know if I'd skip the Old Town one on Third and Creature thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's on the other side of the thing.
So really, I mean, I think we got the point.
One we have, or that, you know, the other one, I mean, it is quite a bit less expensive, but mm-hmm. you have to have the production cost into it, too, since mm-hmm. it would be different size.
Yeah.
With our special pricing, what's our monthly pricing now when they combine those all together? I have my notes from the last meeting. You know, with his deal, you know, and all that.
Was it $18,000 or something?
Yeah, but I mean, when it come out like monthly, even with that extended time, when it come out to a monthly basis, then I can kind of compare it to some of the other ones, you know, like.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to be. It'd
be.
$8,600 per 4-week period.
We got a deal, though, with less than that, isn't it?
Right, but I'm saying for next year, which is what we'll figure out.
Okay, so it's. Yeah, okay.
They haven't billed us in
I think that? They have billed us. I just don't think it had gotten through and processed when I sent you.
And will it be out of last year's fiscal budget?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Because that's what the approval was for. So
yes.
It's like 16,000.
Yes, I believe that was one of the ones I processed for last fiscal year. Mm-hmm. But I think it came after I sent this. Because okay. trying to get it to you so you can get it to me.
Yeah.
Plus the bills keep coming. So, yeah.
Okay. Cool. So we have this up through October. Do we want to anchor any other additional periods? Or, let's see, 8 4-week periods.
So really, it's still open until the month of July only. It's not available.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he said it comes back open in January. So they have something else in December.
After
and then January
okay.
is open all the way
well, yeah,
to
okay,
September,
so that
would
be 2014. That makes sense.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well?
That would be 8 4-week periods that would be remaining in 2013. And that would run.
Well, if we're already up there until October, I would probably wait until February to go back up again then.
Mm-hmm. Would you still pick that as your number one of all the...
Of this pack,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like a couple of the ones Lee had too, but they don't have to be at the exclusion of this one, just in addition to...
So take it like February through June?
Yeah.
Like five 4-week periods?
So how are we doing on our budget?
Well, if we did 5 4-week periods, that would be $45,000, right? Because because it would be 9,000.
How many?
45? Yes, so it'd be $45,000.
Okay.
And we allocated $150,000 for outdoor for the full year. And that would, okay.
So that cuts Lee's down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but if we jump ahead to Lee's.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think of it? I'd say renew Grand Round and Newburgh.
Yeah, and then I would add Roseburg and Woodburn. Because I think they're both good locations and good boards, and it kind of boxes everything in.
Yeah.
Do we want to look and see if Meadow might have anything too in those areas?
We probably have to.
Yeah, I think we should.
But I like the Woodburn one in particular. I like because it is the only one there. I mean, I know where that board is. And you see it because it is. There's nothing else around it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think she's.
They just naturally look.
I think that's a good idea.
And it's not running until December. So yeah,
right.
I don't like her idea, but there's a lot in Albany to take that out. I think that's pretty smart. The Highway 26 one, it's awfully expensive.
Yeah, that's the part.
We'd be blowing our whole budget on a kind of a risky board at an incredible location, but I know what that's like. People are weaving in and out. Guys are trying to take that right-hand turn to Cedar Hills. If you think you're going to look, unless you're a daily commuter and you're going by that thing every day, you're going to go to take, you know, the 185 exit or something a little bit farther. Well, yeah, you probably would see it. But, I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's a...
That's a stretch for us.
For that.
If we only had no boards anywhere in the Portland area and we didn't have anything else, you'd probably say, well, yeah, I'd take a chance on it. But don't you think?
That is all. For, is that for how much?
That's for the, that runs, that will be through November through July.
Okay.
Would be that price. $68,000.
So you're looking at
that's an annual cost.
Right. Kind of make a decision after that, Laura?
Pardon?
Getting some metals board for making decisions.
On the Woodburn one, though, I would say, I don't know if we need to do that just because the thing that makes this one so ideal is the fact there's nothing else around it.
Okay.
But this would be, we were at 28.6 plus 28.6.
24.5?
Yeah.
Plus the 45, right? Is that what we're saying?
What's the 45?
For the on display.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so.
And you'll have production and installation costs.
Okay, so how's that supposed to be?
We don't know what those are.
What's our thing, 150?
There's probably some negotiation room on that, too, though. I think if we commit to a year, we can probably negotiate down quite a bit on the production installation.
Okay. Yeah, and on the 45.
I mean, I know for our Hallmark boards, anytime we do an annual Hallmark board, we get a one time a year change out of production installation, and they don't charge us anything. So, and that's with all the companies. So I think that would be something we could probably ask for and get.
Okay. And so we want to pursue the Woodburn one and wait on the Grand Ronde and Newburgh one until we hear from... Brad at Meadow.
I think we should renew those.
We have. Not,
we have right of first refusal on those. I think
they
so.
Have 60 days out. I think now they're starting to put them out there.
Right, but they're not. The Grand Ronde isn't until November, and the
right.
Newburgh isn't until March of next year. So I think we're safe.
They got a new policy now that so many days out they start putting them out. I think it's 60 though.
So we're okay on both those until next month.
Yeah.
If we want to give Meadow and whoever else the opportunity to come in with what they have in those locations.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, what was your other one, Roseburg?
Okay, so what are we going to do?
And it doesn't have to be Roseburg. I mean, just someplace coming up from the south would be...
Yeah, it's hot down here, and I can see a nice, cool Newport sign somewhere, and people wanting to get out of that heat.
So we
and just getting the people coming up from California and stuff too.
So how about the Bannon one on 101? They're going. That's northbound, right? She said.
Yeah,
it was
I kind of figured the people that are in Bannon are going to be in Bannon, not necessarily.
Well, I'm talking about traffic driving north. You catch some of those guys maybe, but maybe you're right. It's a definitely a destination.
Yeah,
it's a destination.
So.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but if they leave Bannon, there's not a really good spot to stop.
You
sure
might convince them to go past Florence to
Newport. Yeah, keep going.
But,
yeah.
Florence can't even see the ocean from Florence.
I mean, they price them based on desirability. You can tell which they think the hot boards are.
Yeah.
And based on number of cars per day and all that, images and views.
Like a line board is, that's crazy.
So are we thinking, so we're going to wait on what?
So we were saying that on the Grand Ronde and Newburgh, we should probably go back and check with Meadow, because we have time on those two.
Mm-hmm. So, but we're
correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm saying this.
Please. No, but right. But if we can't get them, we'd be inclined to renew those, I think, for the locations.
Yeah,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. But we still have, need to do our due diligence and just see what Meadow has. Mm-hmm. Also,
okay.
Woodburn, I think we could probably just.
Well, it's not even available until December. Just Woodburn.
Yeah. So if we wanted to ask Meadow about Woodburn, that'd be fine too. I mean that.
Starting in December, there'll be a lot of traffic going that way for Christmas
shopping. And just let maybe let Lee know
that we're
all of this, just so that if she sees something else coming down the pike, she can give us a heads up.
Okay.
And then I don't really care about the other ones.
So Roseburg, you don't, you kind of let
I mean, it'd be nice to get one more somewhere, but I don't know what the best place for that is. I don't know. Neil, where are you guys? And are you guys anywhere on I-5 coming up from the south?
No. We're just on, just once you get over, you know, coming over Grand Ronde, you know, I-5 south, and then from Philomath, that's far to go.
I'll probably ask Carrie. I know the aquarium's got a ton of stuff.
Yeah, we should ask.
To the north on I-5 with Portland and stuff, but I don't know if they have anything. She has anything south. Because it always helps to, you know, if you can stick a couple of new billboards next to each other, that's definitely advantageous too.
Yeah.
So. And then talking yesterday, I had asked about some one of my billboards, and there's a seaside one that's just coming up too. I don't know, maybe it's one of our old ones. I don't know if one of us put a seaside one that's that Meadow's got that I haven't seen yet, but I'm not going to take it. But it's just, I know it's coming up. So.
Okay.
So what do you think about the Beltline one and that Eugene one? It's kind of.
That's an obvious show.
So I don't know if that's is this. It might looks like it might be past. This might be turning. This is where you turn to the coast, like right about here, I think. And this would be Jerry's. It'd be down there. So, at least she's got us on the right hand, the right side of the road.
Yeah, that's true.
She must have heard her message on that. That's a possibility, I'd say. What is that one?
So to me, that one would be more putting Newport in people's brains that are traveling through Eugene, more so than, because once somebody's going that way, I don't know, it seems like most people I know in Eugene, most of them don't go that way to go to if they're coming to Newport.
Well, I think they do if they're coming like from Valley River, so that's how they get off to go on 99 though.
True.
Because Jerry's is right down here.
Yeah, that's true, so you would get to 99 there.
You go this way and you jump down.
So I guess if we did a,
if that's where that is,
here to Newport type of a,
okay.
Sign.
Okay, so it's. Oh, I don't know if I like this part. Let's see. North. What's L mean? North Beltline 900. It's 1,000 feet east of Highway 99E. So east. Oh yeah, it would be because you got to go down here and get down, get on 99 right here. So that's where it is. This is where you turn to Junction Cities right here. So I'd say that's a possibility. When's that expire? That's August. That's close.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's pretty pricey too.
It is.
For where? I'm surprised it was actually more than the Woodburn I-5 board.
I don't know if I picked this too. You had to choose one. I'd probably take the Woodburn one. Don't you think?
I think so, because you're going to have so many more commuters and stuff too.
Yeah.
And to me, the billboards, especially when they're further out like that, they're more about top of mind and branding than necessarily changing someone's mind. You know, the ones that, as you get in closer, I think are better for, you know, if somebody's just heading to the coast and they're trying to decide between Newport and Lincoln City or something, than the ones that are closer. You know, once you get west of I-5, they do that. Or, you know, like with Neil, you know, I mean, getting, you know, his attractions on people's brains as they're heading into
the
port.
Yeah, they're coming to the coast. Yeah.
Okay, so do we want to wrap this up and make any decisions today?
Well, I think we
The only thing we can make a decision on is maybe the
on display.
On display, but the others, if you want to listen to Meadow, gonna have to put up another meeting.
So I'll contact Brad at Meadow and have him come to the next.
Do you think we'd lose that on the Woodburn board? Cause it, we don't care about that one, I guess. We're saying no to Beltline anyway, kind of. So I'm talking about, like, it looks like it's come due, so there's really...
So, I mean, really, you know, if it wasn't for, you know, things of late, I would just say rebook Grandbron, Newberg, and book the Woodburn one and do this. I mean, there's no competition for this one.
I agree.
So we don't have to, we have to worry about this one. We can just do this one because there's, nobody else can do that.
I think at our last meeting, we had said that we'd like to hear from the three that we do work with, Meadow, On Display, and CBS. I think that we really need to be fair and to hold our strategy to go ahead.
Okay, so then let's have Meadow present a Grandbron, a Newberg, and a Woodburn.
Perfect.
And it needs to be, the Woodburn needs to be I-5 north facing.
North facing, southbound traffic.
Southbound, north facing.
I agree.
And then Grandbron and Newberg, we want both westbound, east facing, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
Westbound, east facing. And then...
And same side of the street on all of the above.
Okay.
Whatever you...
I agree with that.
Probably the right way to phrase
it. It's so hard on those four-laners when it's way over on that one.
Just, okay.
And they're cheaper, too. They know.
Pat, you're good.
And then let's circle back then to the On Display. Should we, do we want to go February to June with that location? That would be $45,000.
Which location? The one we have, our existing?
The existing stays up through October currently.
That would be good.
Yeah.
I so move.
Okay.
Second.
I think that's a good one for us.
Okay, so we have a motion to... contact On Display to have the 90-foot billboard at 4th and Oak in place from February to June.
To June or through June?
Through June.
Yep.
To the end of June, which would be approximately 4-week postings. And the rate on that is at $9,000 per 4-week posting.
People, 2,000. Whatever 0.6 is.
What is it?
8.6.
I think that's if we did
eight times. Do the whole year
if we
for
did
that.
Eight times. So.
Let's do 11 times, I guess.
11 times? Yeah.
Oh, you're right. Although that was 2012, mm-hmm. right? For the.
And then once we get the rest of all the billboards, we're going to also maybe consider the PDX 145 or On Display, or just kind of.
I think we just see where we're at.
I would just say, we'll add up the boards and find out if we can offer to do it. Yeah. If that's kind of our budget for outdoors, 150.
Okay, so we have a motion and we have a second.
Okay.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
Aye.
Sorry. None are opposed. So, that's that. I think, do we have any other business we want?
Well, Ted, I hope you keep coming.
Nice. Well, I will. You gotta let me.
We'll let you.
Thank you.